Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 309th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get to your daily reading from, you know, the writers over at Once a Metro of SB Nation. This is it, the last show of 2016. Thank you, as always, for listening to this show. The chat room is open. Go ahead, discuss amongst yourselves if you like. You have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. And let us also want to say thank you, unfortunately, for UltimateSportsTalk.com. Mr. Greg Mitchell, who was running UltimateSportsTalk.com, who was hosting my show, and unfortunately, we will not be on the website anymore. They're going to be closing down many of their services on their site due to financial constraints. And, you know, I said to Mr. Mitchell that if there, you know, if he does find the funds to bring those services back up, that it's an automatic for him to take my show on. So I just want to let Mr. Mitchell know, of course, thank you very much for allowing this show to be on your site, and I always appreciate it, everything that's going on. We were supposed to have guests on tonight. Unfortunately, certain things have happened, and, you know, once they became unavailable, unfortunately, but that's okay. They're good people, and we'll get them back on at another time when the new year comes. And so we're going to have the phone lines open right now. Of course, this is the live recording, but of course, once the show is done at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, this will be a recorded show and archived, so which means the phone lines will be closed. So if you're listening live now, and if you wish to call in and to ask a question, phone lines are open. 646-929-1823. Once again, 646-929-1823. Topics will be on what happened with Chuck Blazer if you watch the HBO Real Sports segment. And at the same time, we'll also talk a little bit about Bruce Arena and some other things going on as well. But here's the intro monologue that I'm going to give you, my opening thoughts about Bob Bradley. You know, Bob Bradley has walked into a job where, and unfortunately, and if you've read those that have talked about Bob Bradley, the truth is that Swansea is a mess. It is a huge mess. And the sad thing about Swansea being a mess is that Bob Bradley probably already has a stack. He already has the cards or the deck stacked against him. But still, though, do they have an opportunity to at least get out of the relegation zone? We'll see what happens. But at this moment in time, I think he, you know, depending on what the season, how the season goes through, and what it might happen, I think there's an opportunity for him to absolutely climb out of the relegation zone. Now, they got to go on a hot streak here. We'll find out what happens, and we'll see if how long Swansea can remain afloat in the Premier League. Now, I have been reading articles on Twitter, Facebook, about Bob Bradley being, shall we say, disrespected with the English media because he's not saying the proper terminology. And this is where, I have to be honest, this hurts. Because Bob Bradley should not be criticized because he says road games, road trips. Because he's saying things Americans would normally say about sports. You know, I just feel like Bob Bradley is being accused of the wrong lingo. What is he saying? What does he mean? This is not America's the Premier League and all of this and all of that. Now, you know, we have been guilty at times, I think, within the country, to make sure we say things properly to the English, with those expat Englishmen that live here. And, you know, it started to get me thinking here how much we have to be proper talking about the game of soccer in this country. And yes, I do say football sometimes. Because why? Because, you know, look, I just feel like saying it. But I have to tell you, when you cover this game like I cover this game, and you have to show respect to those that have been doing it before you, and one of them is Paul Gardner. You know, Paul, and I have to be honest, and I have to be truthful about it, is that Paul Gardner, once again, whether you like him or you don't, the man should be respected. I remember one day I said to him, you know, nil and clean sheet and, you know, some other things. And he goes, no, it's not clean sheet. It's shutout. It's zero, not nil. Because he adapted himself to our country, the Englishman. He's adapted to our country. And I just feel like, not that I felt he was wrong, not that I felt that he was incorrect, not that I felt maybe, you know, he's going against the grain, but you know what? He's right. Now, I admit, I'm guilty of this myself, you know, with the proper lingo and stuff like that. And maybe it's, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe I have to talk like this or I have to talk like that. No. Here in the U.S., you know, we say it how we should say it, and it doesn't matter, you know, does not matter if we're making the English upset. And, of course, let's also not forget those guys over, you know, World Soccer Daily a long time ago. They were upset that, well, you know, we shouldn't be saying it like this. We should be saying it the way it's been meant to say it, you know. And that's where I think we put ourselves into trouble. And you know what? I was able to watch on the ESPN FC app Craig Burley's Boiling Point. And he is so right, so correct, because apparently the English media are upset with how Bob Bradley talks about the game on and the different you know, discussions of, you know, how to say it properly. Meanwhile, name me, and this is from Mr. Burley, by the way, a Scotsman on ESPNFC, and I will also say correctly on what he said in this. Can someone name me the last English manager of a club to win the Premier League? Scotland doesn't count due to Mr. Burley, who said that, in which I do agree with him. You know, an Italian won the Premier League for Leicester City and tons of pizza parties too. Arsene Wenger, who won the FA Cup, he's not English, he's French. I mean, he could be a honorary Englishman, but the truth is he's French. So, once again, the questions are being asked. What has an English manager done in England to win a Premier League title, let alone leading the national team to a European Cup or a World Cup? Because apparently they don't know what they're doing. And here you have Antonio Conte, an Italian manager running Chelsea. And I believe, you know, he has them at the top of the table. Obviously, Bob Bradley, who has done a damn good thing. And, you know, top of the table Chelsea for Conte and many other things going on here. The English media loves to harass you about not doing things the English way. All I can say is this, and as I do take a look at the table of the Premier League, Chelsea in first place, 43 points, an Italian. Liverpool in second place, 37 points, a German. Man City in third place, 36 points, Spaniard. Arsenal in fourth place, Frenchman. Pochettino for Tottenham, I believe he's Portuguese. And of course, Manchester United, Jose Mourinho, who's also Portuguese. Everton, a Dutchman. Leicester in 15th place. And that is an Italian. Even though Swansea's in 19th and is Bob Bradley, the truth is they started off horribly. And, you know, the truth is you can't really blame Bradley for this mess because this mess got started before he even came over. So, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, the situation once again rears its ugly head for no reason. And I have to say right now, the truth is that English managers are not good within their own league, or at least in the Premier League, and they're not that good with their national team. And Burley's correct. And I really do hope that the English media will leave Bob alone and worry about how Southgate is going to get England to qualify for the World Cup. And not just qualify for the World Cup, but get out of the group stages or at least past the second round of the World Cup. Because right now, while these are the best clubs in the world, what have they done recently outside of the Premier League? And I'm talking about UEFA Champions League, maybe even the Europa Cup. Because at this point in time, I mean, if you want me to say it, I will. I don't think English clubs have done anything, nor the national team have done anything spectacular. Foreign-owned, foreign-managed, and let's be honest with ourselves, what have you done for me lately? And this is not a challenge to people over in England. I'm not challenging them. I'm just stating facts. And if you're hurt about those facts, well, look, then get better managers who are English. Because right now, foreigners are doing a much better job of managing and running English clubs than Englishmen would be doing. So that's all I have to say. Leave Bob alone. Bob's a good guy. Bob Bradley is a very good guy. He has done many good things. It's time to leave him alone. Well, folks, this is the last show of 2016, episode number 309. First things first, once again, I want to thank my guests on Friday night, of course, Carter Kirschner, Dr. Nipun Chopra, Chad Hollingsworth, as well as Neil Morris, talking about the issues that are plaguing our lower levels. I want to thank them again for being on the show. And it goes to show you that if you discuss a topic the proper way, you will get positive feedback. And all throughout Twitter, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who listened to the show. Thank you for your positive opinions, and thank you very much for basically just listening to the show, giving praise, the likes, the retweets, the comments, because when have you heard honest discussion on a topic that nobody wants to talk about because of the other side? Because the continuance and the continuation of this topic being butchered, being destroyed, one-sidedness, and just no one cares. No one wants to hear it. No one wants to talk about it because of certain people who just don't want to have conversation. They don't want to discuss it. They would rather just keep on going with it's my way or the highway. And we can't have that. If we are going to have honest dialogue about our leagues and our clubs and the situations that are plaguing them at the moment, you know, that conversation gets turned off. Because no one wants to hear it. No one wants to have a conversation. And that's not what debating is all about. We got to have open dialogue and open opportunities to discuss the matter. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and talk about the first topic for tonight. Or shall I say the second topic for tonight, because the first topic was an intro monologue. And for those of you that watch the HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel show about maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a little less than that, and the middle story was about former CONCACAF General Secretary and former FIFA Executive Committee member Chuck Blazer. My God, I thought the cats were strange enough. You have to say about Chuck Blazer is this. This man did so many things right and sadly took advantage to do it wrong. I have never thought I would see the day. And it doesn't matter where the gentleman is from. It does not matter where he is from, what country they come from. It is still wrong what Chuck Blazer did. He, plain and simple, he took advantage of the system. He took advantage of everything. He took advantage of the people that cares and cared enough for this game. He took advantage of everything that has happened, and it's really tough, very, very tough to see that in front of your eyes. Chuck Blazer, for 3 years, has been stealing and taking bribes and giving kickbacks and everything else for his own amusement and for his own greed. And you just got to say that it's very disappointing. Not so much that he was the only American to do this at that particular point in time, but just to say, when you see what greed can do to you, it's a long, long time of how much greed can really fix your hunger and appetite for power and glory, and at the same time, the financial power he had to pay, $18,000 a month at the Trump Tower for his own apartment, and then another $5,500 for the other apartment for the cats, which was probably his office. And having CONCACAF offices inside Trump Tower, just amazing what this man has done. The continued amazement of what he has done to not just try to make CONCACAF into a footballing power, a soccer power, but just to, whet his appetite. Now, I have never met Chuck Blazer in person, but I have seen him once. And that one time I saw Chuck Blazer in person was the time when Red Bull Arena had their groundbreaking ceremony. And my goodness, when you saw the videos of him on the on that HBO Real Sports article, how did he balloon all that weight? How did he get so big? Seeing those old pictures of him, what was he doing before he became a member of CONCACAF? What was he doing before he got involved into soccer? I mean, it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy what he has done to himself. But, it's just amazing to watch that and to see it in all of his glory, you might say, all the wrong things he's done. And it's just amazing, the woman who was his companion, a former soap opera actress from Florida, how he told her the FBI got him for racketeering and fraud and all that other stuff, and how she said, well, you're not a criminal. That's something gangsters would do. And, of course, his response to her was, he's just a fat crook from Queens. It just amazes me, again, how that man, and you just gotta say, it's just unbelievable what's going on here with what Chuck Blazer has done. And so hopefully we'll try and get a guest on here. Of course, he's a good friend of mine. You know who he is as well. He's in my chat room at the moment. And we're going to go ahead and give him a call right now. So as we dial up the numbers, and oops, I thought I dialed in the number. Hold on. But anyway, Maybe we'll make this into a whole Chuck Blazer show. We'll never know. But I guess that's the only reason why the FBI was able to get him for all those charges. And I believe we got the man who runs the Yellow Card podcast and Stephen Branch. Stephen, are you there?
Physically, mentally, I don't know where the heck I am after that day. Were you past the book American Huckster at all?
I have not, and I'm assuming that's everything that's involving Mr. Blazer, isn't it?
That's basically the biography of him, and I was, God, sometime in July, I was rooting around talking to Leander Shalakin, of all people. I'm not connected to him. I've never had him on a pod. I don't know him from anybody else.
I was
randomly talking, tweeting to him online, and the publisher for American Huckster contacts me personally and says, hey, do you want a book? We all know me. I mean, when you met me, I handed you, I think, 3 books. So that's...
Yes, you did.
So what was Chuck Blazer doing before? Chuck is a licensed soccer coach.
That I did not know. Okay.
Chuck ran, because Chuck's an old, I'm surprised, A, he's still alive, because last time I heard from him, he's got pretty progressive, either diabetes and cancer, or just cancer. But back in like the 70s, just as Pelé was leaving, Blazer got into coaching soccer, and it was of that time, and I know Chris could probably talk about this more,
mm-hmm.
that it was not as organized as it is now, is that you could just get together a team, and Chuck got sponsorships. He got basically what he is today. The books and stuff that are out there about Chuck, you're not really surprised with anything there is. But I'm actually surprised we haven't heard more in CONCACAF, the CONCACAF region, or some of the other people in this region. And I'm not casting any names, but I watched that Congress where Gianni Infantino was elected, and it scared me. To see certain presidents walking around hush hush, trying to get votes. The history buff in me got scared big time by that, because that's how we see dictatorships start up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I just walked in, and I was actually, as I was walking in, thinking about Dan's got to have his last show, so I gotta listen in. So I mean, I just had just caught what you were talking about with Chuck Blazer on that.
Well, you know, I mean, the only thing I know about Blazer, obviously, was him being General Secretary of CONCACAF when good old Captain Jack Warner was running the Confederation. So I mean, you know. You know, they said he was the HBO show said he was a suburban dad. You know, that's as far as I knew about him recently. You know, what was he doing before? I don't know what he was doing before, but you know, it's just amazing to see him. Just, I would say, you might say a self-made man in the life and the world of FIFA and CONCACAF. You might say.
Well, that's what a lot of what soccer is. On this side of the world, that's what a lot of people are. I mean, yes, soccer's been in the States since the 1800s, since we kicked
mm-hmm.
the Brits out.
Right.
But it's not been the life that people are. I mean, I've said it on my show, you've said it on your show, we didn't grow up with it. I grew up. If you look at the Bill Self press conference when he was hired at Kansas, You see my shoulder in it. I was in college basketball with him. You're not kicking around the ball in Portland. Kardec's a little different, but that's because he's from Florida.
That's right.
And God, I hope he's listening to this and laughing, by the way. I should have actually texted him before I came on. I'm not surprised that he made a self-made man, but that's kind of what you see with people like that. And I was kind of surprised when I read about him that he wasn't connected with the old cosmos, because mm-hmm. he's of that age and he's from the area. And there is nothing on him from Studio 54 or the old cosmos. And that scared me, because
mm-hmm.
you see a lot of what came out of that old North American soccer league. And then some really big people. I mean, John Harkes was a ball boy. You can go through a list. I'm sure Ronaldo out on the West Coast dealt with the Aztecs out there. But that's what you get around here. You get either the Sunil Gulati, who was a professor, or you get the pond scum.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's the sad thing sometimes, isn't it? It's either you get the self-made guy, you get the pond scum, and sometimes pond scum wins. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, talking about, you hope that, of course, Gianni Infantino is going to, you know, start off doing things we would like to think is going to happen for all these changes that some have said that should be happening, and let's hope it does. But the whole thing with Blazer that, you know, like I said, I've only seen him once. I've never talked to the man. I've never introduced myself to the man. I felt, you know, he was – at the time, I was just starting off my internet radio career for soccer with Champion Soccer Radio Network. I took the train in New Jersey Transit from when I was living in Fairlawn, New Jersey to Harrison, New Jersey, and it was just a big pile of rubble, a couple of school buses docked, and a big freaking warehouse. And now look what's over there, Red Bull Arena. And that man...
There's still a lot of warehouses around there. You know, that's the thing my dad and I were surprised about. And I don't think people really get that listening to this, is that in the rest of the world, the centers are really soccer. Here in the States, and I don't know how many MLS arenas you've been to. I've been to two so far. They just, like, pop up out of the middle of nowhere. And that's kind of – I liken that to Major League Baseball, is that I was surprised how just different it is. Now, Harrison, New Jersey is becoming more younger, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
There's more – the area around it's good, but, I mean – if you were to tell me that the Red Bull were out on a, what is that, is that a four-lane road that leads up to it?
Two going north and two going south, yep.
Yeah, so basically it's a four-lane road. Now, I've been to MAPFRE Stadium. That is out far in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
That is a poke from downtown. Now, that was right, but you have to drive through the slums of Columbus to get to it. And you don't park on a nice area. So we've got a long way to go, folks. So you Euro snobs that are claiming that we're going to be the best by 2020, do something for me. Go to a game instead of playing FIFA or Football Manager and collecting your scars and working your thumbs out on Twitter.
Yep. Because here's the thing with Red Bull Arena, because, you know, they've been building, like you stayed at the Element, which is like right there across from the PATH train station, right along it, I should say. There's also going to be new apartment buildings being built on the other side of the PATH station where that big empty area is right now. The warehouse, garage, or parking area is still there. I don't know how much longer they have left before they lose the property to maybe for something else. We'll see what happens. But for sure, Stephen, it's starting to build, and it's building pretty well. I mean, I go to Google Maps a lot. I look at the areas of all these soccer stadiums in Europe. You know, it's all within the community. And, you know, just like, you know, like you said, baseball stadiums like Wrigley Field in Chicago in the north side. I mean, it's in the neighborhood right there, smack dab. Fenway Park in Boston, same thing. Yankee Stadium, either area, it's in the neighborhood. You can't miss it.
You can miss Fenway. I mean, Fenway's literally down the street from a Best Buy, which still makes me laugh. I mean, frickin' Fenway Park, you can walk past it real fast and not realize you're standing next to a national icon. I highly doubt you could do that in Manchester. You could probably not walk past. I hate it calling the Field of Dreams because that's so stupid. But Old Trafford. And I've always wondered this. Eventually, they're going to have to redo Old Trafford. Is it going to be called New Trafford?
I have no idea.
It's just random stuff. I mean, like my dad is going to Chelsea in, I think, February to see some plays in the West End. So he asked me what side of teams are around there because, you know, I have way too many scarves, as it's been proven. I'm like, well,
yes, it does.
I asked my friend who I write for over there. All right, I want to get something from Crystal Palace. How far it is? How far is it from such and such? And he texts me back. He goes, well, for Brits, it's 2-1, but for you Americans, it's basically a three block walk. So, but that's what we need. I mean, that's what New York has that other stadiums don't, and what Chicago's never going to have. I mean, our good friend Ryan Seelock turns green when we mention Andrew Hauptman.
Yes.
So, I mean, he becomes the Incredible Hulk because I know Seelock's a tall guy. But this is what this is what I hope in the next 5 to 10 years happens, is that they become the centers of it, that we get away from what you had to grow up with, what I had to grow up with, is that, and I think I like to look at, I don't know if you do it this way, is I like to look at the end of each MLS season, and I'm at the end of my year with my pod too, but I like to look at the end of each MLS season and see how much the sport has grown in the States.
I think it's grown.
This year.
Yeah. Are you wondering it's going to go to a positive or a negative? How are you feeling?
I think it's stagnated. Now, to be honest, I'm having Jason Longshore on tomorrow, which you stole from me last week, but that's fine.
That's you.
I'm so used to it. Yeah, no. the whole love of what Atlanta United is doing, we've seen this before, folks. We have seen a European coach who has played in a European league come over here, and we just think he's going to set the world afire. He's got the coaches. He's got the players. He's doing it right. That former coach is now a pundit over in Spain, and that's Ruud Gullit. So I'm not trying to throw any rain on Atlanta United's parade too much, but this love of suddenly Minnesota and Atlanta are in, that this really shows a lot. let's say it what it is. Atlanta United screwed over the Silverbacks. No one could convince me that MLS didn't take out the Silverbacks because of Wijnaldum being there. The reason that team is in MPSL still pisses me off. And I lived in Minnesota for a decade. I want to see Minnesota United succeed. I really do. I've gotten a lot of friends up there, and I hope it does well. But thinking that
your friends are my friends,
suddenly, that because Minnesota United is in, this is the new change. Why? We're bringing two new teams in. Now, I'm not going to use that word that gets half of U.S. soccer angry at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any difference. I mean, Atlanta United's biggest name they're bringing in is Kenwin Jones.
Yes.
That is like the Yankees bringing in Chuck Knoblauch. Oh, wait, they did that. They did that a decade ago.
Or like the Jets
bringing in Muhammad Wilkerson.
No, they drafted him, actually.
They drafted him. But Muhammad Wilkerson was from Temple.
Yes.
Not from, like, Florida. When you want to move the needle, Kenwin Jones.
I know.
Really?
I know.
I mean, I know Atlanta is not a major market, but you should be able to get someone better than that. I mean, I'm not saying Joey Barton.
No, let's not say
over because of his felonies, but a former Sunderland and Cardiff City guy.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I know.
Really? And
I know.
Minnesota United's claim to fame is going to be they're going to bring the guy back from Lyon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I don't see how it succeeds. Now, I hope it does. I hope they both succeed, and I hope that they do. But you know what? What I want for the next year, I want the Red Bull to win the cup. That will be the league game better, not for Vancouver.
Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, when the Champions League gets back underway with the knockout stage, Red Bulls and Whitecaps in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. But just to, did you watch that HBO special, the Real Sports Show, when they talked about Chuck Blazer? I mean, you know, he is fighting colon cancer, and apparently they are saying that he might get out of it. He's in some hospital in Manhattan somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the one that's along the FDR, but then again, I don't know. But still, though, you know, I just find it interesting that man, with everything he's done, being connected with every single person in the world. And, you know, I was trying to get on my friend who's the former assistant district attorney of Queens, and Mario Cisfantos. You know, he's very, very savvy with all the legal mumbo jumbo and everything. Not trying to say he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he does because he's a former assistant district attorney, assistant DA and stuff. But I find it interesting the FBI, when they got tipped about the Russia World Cup bid being, you know, tainted and dirty, how they were able to get it on Blazer because he was the only American at the time to be a part of the executive committee.
Yeah, no, I'm really not surprised, being a historian, that the FBI got tipped off about the Russians. We've been spying on the Russians since the 1900s. So, I mean, that's not a surprise. with this whole FIFA scandal and Chuck Blazer and all that, and you get the point that we're kind of like news drunk on it, is that it's kind of like really enough already. I mean, there are certain topics in the sport, like FIFA corruption. I mean, I've listened to podcasts after podcasts after podcasts after podcasts from pretty well-known people that do this stuff very well, talking about it ad nauseum. I mean, I think what I'm coming out of this year with is that I think soccer media needs to have a rethink about what it is. Is that, and you've probably seen this shift since you've gotten into it, is that it's getting more specialized. And I mean, I don't know if you our good friend Thomas Rongen was on World Football Index with Dylan Baker, and he did a bit towards the end about soccer media. And the thing he doesn't understand are the tactic heads, are the people that, like Michael Cox, who writes for Arsenal now, that have the, and Matt Doyle, but I'm not going to get into Matt Doyle because you'll kick me off real fast on this one. Yeah. There's a reason why I'm not liking MLS.com right now, MLS.net or whatever the hell it is. Anyway. Yeah.
MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah. The sport has gotten so – it's grown. Soccer media has grown in the States substantially in the last year. But I'm beginning to wonder, are we too specialized? Is there too many shows like yours, too many shows like mine that talk about everything now that aren't specializing?
Don't know. That's the next question, isn't it, on the Yellow Card podcast?
Yeah. When we get around to it.
Yep. When we get around to it. I tell you, Stephen. You know, sooner or later, we had to get to this department of, has everything been oversaturated? Is the league, is MLS stagnant? But let me ask you this. Did you listen to my show on Friday with Kardik and Neil Morris and Nipun Chopra and Chad Hollingsworth about the whole NASL situation?
Yeah, and I've done 3 pods on it in the past year for it. I will be real interested in this when our good friend Kardik Krishnar gets out from underneath Fort Lauderdale on some of the stuff he actually can say.
Yes.
And I know Neil doesn't guard himself that much, and I love listening to him, and I'm going to get him on next year.
Not unless I steal him from you.
You've stolen so many people from me, it's not even funny. that's fine with that. I'm not as hopeful with the North American Soccer League as people hope. And you're going to see it. I'm writing a really long article for a site over in London right now about all of this. I do find it funny. I do find it funny that so many years later that USL is strong and ESL isn't. It just makes me laugh. And AC St. Louis is gone, and Rochester Rhinos is still in the USL. So, I mean, this is just funny. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. And...
but my key question in all of this is, okay, if NASL has to sit out a year, what does Miami FC and Indy 11 do?
Probably Indy 11 will go to the USL for a year and wait for NASL to come back, and maybe Miami FC just pays their players and probably goes somewhere else on loan for a year, makes deals with some clubs on loan for a year, and then brings them back to play in the NASL because they have the money. After all, they commissioned the Deloitte study for ProRel in the United States.
Which was a crock of shit to begin with.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but all of that is anyway, so. Yeah, and I said that to you, Ted. So when you start tweeting at me about that I said ProRel, you can actually listen back.
That's right. 10-1, he just doesn't listen. He just wants to go off on his own little merriment.
Oh, yes. I'm going to love it when he goes away from when someone changes his password on his Twitter account.
Hopefully if it's a Yahoo account?
No, his Twitter account. Well, he is
Yahoo. Yes, the gift that just keeps on giving.
Yes, or what I call Jets quarterbacks.
Oh, listen. You can go off as much as you want. I don't care. Season's over anyway. It's been over since week 6.
You know, I look at it this way. My dad's been a Bears fan. My dad's 72, and he yells and screams about it. I called him up Sunday. We're going back and forth about the NFL. I said, well, at least mom's not alive. Because my mom was a Browns fan.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That's even worse punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Already we're going out with the Browns jokes.
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, this was
fun. I assume you have to wrap up real soon.
I probably have to wrap up soon, yeah. But let me just say this. I'm always grateful being on your show, and I'm always grateful for you to come on my show, Stephen. So let me just say thank you very much for another fantastic year here. Joining me on my show, and I will definitely, I believe once I find out if I'm available or not, I think, as you said, Gluck scheduled a show with a college soccer coach.
Yeah, next week is the University of Washington's Jamie Clark. His father is the coach at Notre Dame and was coached by Alex Ferguson when he was at Aberdeen, so... Not this week. But the week after. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The week after is college soccer, because I know Chris likes to talk coaching every so often. So
sure,
we'll see. I mean, worst case scenario, I'll call in and do the pod, but we can have fun with this. So
absolutely,
yeah,
that's the whole point. Fun.
Exactly. Well,
yep.
I'll let you go, and I'm sure you all will be listening to Jason Longshore tomorrow, because you want to hear the guest that Daniel stole from me.
That's right, Stephen. I have my eyes and ears on Buffalo, and when I get the chance to hear the guest you're having on, I'm going to call him up 1-2-3.
Exactly. Well, why
That's
do you
right.
think I keep trying to have you? Why do you think I keep trying to have you on so I don't have to have a reason for you to steal them?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Talk to you later, man.
Talk to you later, man. That's Stephen Brandt, Yellow Card Podcast. Great to have him on the show, and great to just know some of the stuff that's been going on and what, you know, people know about certain things even that I don't know. And I admit there's some things that I don't know. And there you have it. Chuck Blazer, the man of mystery. Or as they say in the Dos Equis commercials, the most interesting man in the world. Or maybe it's just in the region of CONCACAF. But definitely, definitely, you got to say that when you learn about certain people, now you know what's going on. But I will say this. When next year comes around, hopefully it will be a better year than what some of us have seen at the moment. But still, let's hope to have a solid year. Let's all help to have a good, wonderful Hanukkah, Christmas, and a Happy New Year when it comes around. So as I'm wrapping up this show, I want to thank everyone that has been a part of this show ever since the start. And I also want to thank those people that have been a part of the show, you know, for the first time. I want to say thank you very much to everyone that helped me out with my Copa America Centenario shows. I want to thank those that are not I won't go there because that's not really fair, because you really can't lump certain people into a schmuck who assumes that they know what they're doing. And then, of course, I'm talking about certain writers of a certain team that's across the street, across from the Hudson River, I should say. But anyway, you know, I want to thank everyone that's been a part of these shows and just doing a wonderful job of covering the world's favorite game, which is, of course, our favorite game. And that is, of course, the game of soccer, the game of football. And we all love it so much. A lot of people to talk about, a lot of people that you want to thank, of course. If I can just go ahead and just start making the list, I guess. I'm going to try and get as many people as possible here. I don't want to leave anyone out, but I just want to quickly mention Jason Longshore coming for next year, Ryan Seelock in Chicago, Patrick Quinn in Denver, of course, everyone over in Columbus, Robert Hay, D.C., Mark Followill, Daniel Robertson, Derek Stowers, Dave Denholm, Adam Serrano, Bruce McGuire, Brian Korstad, Jeff Reuter, Kevin Laramie, Sean O'Donnell, Jake Catanese, Michael Anderer, Glenn Crooks, Michael Shirto, Earl Reed, Kevin Kincaid, William Conwell, Heath Waddingham, Robert Jonas, Dave Clark, Mike Kuhn, Dwayne Rollins, John Sakaris, Neil Morris, Peter Brown, Aaron Gunyon, Daryl Jones, Juan Arango, David Kilpatrick, Dr. David Kilpatrick, Blog Smith, Chris Brannick, of course, at the start, and the gentleman from the Scissor Tales podcast, Porter Campbell, Bower Sox, Tim Payne, Tom Payne, of course, Puerto Rico FC, Jake Nutting, my compadre, John Jagu, Peter Wilt, John Strong, Matt Reed, Juan Mesa, Glenn and Matthew Klimberg, Michael Lewis, of course, Zach Hall in Charlotte, Reed Maltby, Chad Hollingsworth, Brian Kaiser, Anthony Jarrett, Brendan Doherty, Josh Beeman, James Hope, and Jake, we already said about Jake, and everyone else that's been a part of this wonderful thing for this wonderful show. My name is Daniel Feuerstein, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening tonight and throughout the entire 2016 season. 2-week break is here. I will be back in January after the new year, but I want to wish everyone happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and please have a happy and safe new year. Thank you so much. And for the final time in 2016, please enjoy your football. Thank you. You have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody, and talk to you in the new year. So long.